This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another special episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by David.
Evening, Tom.
And I'm delighted to say we're also joined by a very special guest. Our guest this evening started his career at Sunderland and has had spells at a number of clubs, including Cardiff and Bradford, before signing for the Sky Blues in 2019. He's recently broken into the Sky Blues first team and has put in some impressive performances so far. Sponsored by Sky Blues Extra, I am, of course, talking about Ben Wilson. Evening, Ben. Thanks for giving up some of your time to join us on the show.
Evening, gentlemen. I hope you're all right, and thank you very much for having me tonight.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming on. You know, it's a busy fixture schedule at the moment, so
it doesn't feel I've got time to blink at the minute.
Yeah, I can imagine. We'll obviously get onto this season shortly and talk a bit about that, because it's been great sort of so far. But yeah, we just wanted to go back to the start, really, and I guess find out a bit more about you and sort of before your time at Coventry. So we tend to just start with, you know, right at the start, really. You know, you obviously, I think you're brought up not far from Sunderland. Tell us a bit more about your upbringing, Ben.
Yeah, I'm from a place called County Durham, a little place within County Durham called Stanley, which it's in the middle of Sunderland, Newcastle. So there's a lot of mixture between Sunderland and Newcastle fans. But obviously I was brought up supporting Sunderland as a young boy, because obviously my mum in the family is the football fan. My dad doesn't really know too much about football or didn't play football growing up, which is quite surprising. Obviously, most fathers who's got sons in the game now obviously are all ex-football fans or footballers themselves. It all started out for me at my boyhood club called Sandhall, which is now called Beamish in East Stanley.
Yeah.
Now, we were a very, very good team. It was a good club to be a part of. But when I first joined, I remember being asked to play, and I always wanted to go in goal. I don't know why I did, to be honest. Obviously, well, I look back now and I think it was a good choice, because I don't know if I'd be a professional footballer if I had to play off-field now. But I begged and begged to go in goal, but because I was so fast as a young boy, I was always on the wing. And then the season after, I didn't really score too many goals, so maybe that's why I got further and further back. But the season after, we didn't start off with a goalkeeper, so then I asked to go in goal. And that season, we played in a tournament down in Blackpool, and that's when I got picked up to play by Sunderland. There was a few other teams interested then, but obviously, as a young Sunderland fan, it was only one team I wanted to play for back then. That was when I was 9 year old. I think I got picked to play for Sunderland. And then obviously just went from there, went and played for Sunderland. During the week, trained during the week, played on a Saturday. But then I'd always go back to my Sunday league team on a Sunday, which they weren't really fond of me doing. But it was the fun side of it. Obviously, when you're a young lad, obviously football was always fun as a kid. But it takes the pressure off you when you go back and play with your mates on a Sunday, for what we used to go through during the week. So it was always nice to stay in touch with my mates on a Sunday and obviously get the proper training, proper football from Monday to Saturday.
Yeah, I can imagine. You mentioned supporting Sunderland as a kid. Did you sort of have any players that you like were your favourites, or perhaps were there any goalkeepers that you sort of looked up to? Maybe even outside of Sunderland as well.
Yeah, well, speaking about Sunderland, I don't really think there's too many Coventry fans want to listen to me tonight. I know there's a bit of bad blood between Sunderland and Coventry, but luckily it was before my time, so I've got no bad blood there. When I was growing up, it was obviously goalkeeper at the time when I first started getting into football was Tommy Sorensen. And obviously, in my eyes, he's the real Great Dane. There's obviously Peter Schmeichel's obviously there, but Tommy Sorensen was, in my eyes, the best at that time. But as a goalkeeper, I was always fond of outfield players, and obviously we had the partnership of Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips back then. And obviously, across the water there, you had Alan Shearer banging in the goals for Newcastle. But in my childhood, it was all about Kevin Phillips and Niall Quinn.
And Ben, how with positions you mentioned there about playing up front and trying to score goals, did you try a lot of different positions before you became a goalkeeper, or was it just like you say, from out and out you always wanted to be a keeper?
Well, obviously, they put me on the wing because I was rapid. But yeah, I always wanted to go in goal. And when I went in goal, I'd obviously done an all right job and obviously got picked up. And I always look back and do say it was fate that I went in goal for where I am, where I am today.
Yeah.
But even still now, like if I could take the gloves off and play outfield and train, I'd be the first to put my hand up and say, let me play outfield, let me put outfield. And I always did. All growing up, I always played Sunday league football. I mean, I remember playing even on the 16 level. I used to play centre half and right back for my team. I moved to a team called Black Fine. And that season I got player of the season and players player of the season. So it's like this goalkeeper's come, he's playing outfield and he's getting player of the season. It was crazy. But I used to love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, as much as I shouldn't say it, when I go home I like to play by my side with my mates, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do always say that, don't they? As children, they do always say that now as coaches, that try and play as many positions as you can because it stands you in good stead, doesn't it?
No, 100% it does. I mean, I remember, was it Edwin van der Sar, I think it was. Mm. Ajax put him centre midfield for a year, so he was obviously this unbelievable goalkeeper, but they played him centre midfield for a year just so he was good on the ball, and obviously he was one of the first who was actually known for being really good with his feet.
Yeah.
Especially the way the game's going now. I think obviously in 10 years' time, goalkeepers won't even have to wear gloves because no one coaches goalkeeper no more. It's all about being an outfield player.
Yeah, second sweeper.
But I like the way the game's played now, and I like playing football. Obviously, as much as I'd love to play number 8 or number 6 just to get in the ball and spray a few balls about, because there's a little bit pressure if you give the ball away then. At least you've got another line in front of you to give it, or behind you to pack you up with. If I get tackled with a ball, I think it's game over then. Which obviously I did in pre-season. I got a bit grief for that. But you've got to get your mistakes out, haven't you?
Yeah, no, exactly. And your youth career was at Sunderland. Just talking a bit more about that and just touching on that. How did that sort of blossom, and how long was that sort of, you know, as a good preparation into, you know, men's football?
Yeah, no, Sunderland, obviously, at the time, when I joined, they just moved into the academy, and the Academy of Light was, obviously, it was state-of-the-art. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, even still now, as much as it's nearly 20-year-old there now, the training ground, it's still one of the best in the country.
Yeah.
And we had everything. The facilities were, like, second to none, the coaching staff. We had all the gear, everything. You couldn't, we were spoiled. And I think, I look back and I think, even now, the problem with all these big team, Premier League teams, and that now is they do spoil the young boys. But yeah. I think that's where football's becoming. It's obviously we're all little princesses now, aren't we? That's the thing. but no, as a kid at Sunderland, it was amazing. I had a goalkeeper coach called Mark Prudder, and he was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Honestly, I couldn't talk highly enough about someone as a person and as a coach.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks volumes of all the keepers that came through at Sunderland in my time, who's went on to do good things. Obviously, you've got Pickford, who's number one at England.
Of course.
You've had Ben Anick, Trevor Carson, who's still playing. Even Joel Dixon now, he's playing Barrow in League 2.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of really, really good goalkeepers come through over the years. And I had the best. I had the best training. I had the best training facility, so it always helps. And I was there in 11 years. I've seen a number of different goalkeeping coaches. I got older as I was training with the first team a lot more. But I think a young, naive Ben, I think I got a little bit too comfortable in my own surroundings. I was at Sunderland. I was at home with my mates all the time. Yeah. I had the best. I was living this world where, I mean, I was driving in my Fiat Punto, which you had to fill oil up every week, and driving, pulling in next to Porsches and Lamborghinis and that in the training ground. I think I just got a little bit too comfortable and kind of forgot why I was there, really. It was just an honour. It was an honour to play for Sunderland, be at Sunderland, but I think I got lost in my ways a little bit and enjoyed the lifestyle a little bit too much when I was a young boy and forgot which direction I really needed to go in.
Yeah, and something that perhaps helped with that was loan spells. What is it like to go out on loan, and it, you know, how does it help you learning from different coaches and also different management and playing styles?
The loan spells were, I would say that they were negative, but they did have the positives in a sense of you're going into men's changing room, you're going to players who've played the game, who've been at the top level, who's dropped down, getting on a little bit now. So you learn from them. But there was a lot of things happened, and I got sent on loan as backup. And maybe you look now and think, well, I've been a number two a lot of my career. Mm. And did that start because of that? You're getting sent out on loan to be a backup rather than getting sent out on loan to play. Mm. I mean, my first loan spell, I went to Harrogate Town, which was an hour from where I lived. So it was amazing. Well, not too far to travel.
Yeah.
We used to train on the old AstroTurf pitches with sand on in a car park next to Morrison's. So that was an eye opener because I'd been given everything all my life. So all of a sudden I'm training this professional football.
Yeah.
And, on this little sand pitch down in Harrogate. But I played a couple of games there, done all right. And then all of a sudden their goalkeeper came back from his injury, mm-hmm. and he kicked up this big fuss in the change room because I was playing, and then literally wow. 45 minutes before kickoff, the manager pulled his says, "Look, at the end of the day, he's our goalkeeper, so we're going to have to play him." And I thought, "Well, hang on a minute, yeah. surely that's not football, is that's not how it works. I've done all right here." And I went back to Sunderland after that. So it was as much as it was positive going and playing a couple of games. It ended badly because obviously he come back and I got dropped for no reason. But it was, like you say, it was good to learn. I got there. It was a different environment, and that's what I needed.
There was one in Cardiff, wasn't there, as well? Was it 2014?
Well, that's when I officially signed for Cardiff in 2014, but I went down in 2013, in August, September 2013. But obviously, because of the international clearance, they didn't allow me to sign until the following transfer window. So all the games I was playing for the 23s then, it was all down as a trialist, even though I'd already signed the pre-contract. But it was strange how that came about. I mean, I'd obviously left Sunderland that year.
Yeah.
And I had a few good trials. I went to Fulham on trial, I went to Middlesbrough on trial. And I thought, I'm still in with it here. I've left a Premier League club, I'm going to get another Premier League club or a good Championship club. I think Fulham in Championship at the time. And they would have been Premier League, sorry. And I thought, that's it. Obviously, my luck's still in. I've still got a chance. And then they fizzled out. And I ended up, going back even further, should I say. It's when I was 20, in, was it 20? Oh, what year would that have been? It was when I left school. So 2008, 2007, 2008, Sunderland didn't know whether they were going to give me a scholarship or not.
Sure.
So they sent me these exit trials, and there was a load of teams that came in for me there, and then obviously they offered me a scholarship from that. But there was one team and one guy, he kept ringing me all the time, rang me literally every year for 5 years I was full-time at Sunderland. And it was Cambridge, and he was like, "We're desperate, we'll love you down here, we'll love you down here." And they were so, I don't know, I would say it in awe of me, but he had such high hopes of me.
It must be quite, not difficult, but you know, it's nice to obviously really feel wanted, isn't it, like that? And of course that desired effect then when Sunderland, but it must be quite difficult to sort of, you know, turn perhaps that down, but it's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were in the conference at the time. Yeah. And obviously I thought myself, I was a young boy at Sunderland, I think Premier League, I'm not jumping down that far, but in a sense, obviously I didn't really know football properly then. But it was nice. It was such a nice feeling that someone actually had me. He was ringing me house phone, speaking to my parents on the phone, saying how much he'd love me to come down. And then obviously fast forward, when I got released from Sunderland, he was straight on the phone. And I went down to Cambridge. They even threw me, I went down on my birthday, and they even threw me a little birthday party, took me out for my meal and all that. So that was even good.
Yeah.
And they'd offered me this non-contract for the time being. And at the same time, Accrington Stanley came in with a non-contract offer as well. And I thought to myself, well, they're in the league, they're in the conference, yeah. I'll go to Accrington Stanley, even though it was a lot less money at Accrington Stanley. But I thought, well, it's league football, I'll stay in league, and obviously that's what I want to do. And literally I turned up back into Stanley. I mean, that was an eye opener as well. And I'd been there about a week, and we played Cardiff in the cup. I was on the bench, no surprise there. And the goalkeeping coach pulled me at half time saying, "Would you like to come to Cardiff?" I was like, "Well, yeah, I must have had a good warm up here." And obviously I rang the agent straight away at the time and said, "Look, Cardiff's interested in me, let's get the ball rolling." And I say to him, he wanted me to come down that week. and train. And I was like, well, I can't really. I'm still under this. I could have really walked away because it was only a non-contract.
Yeah.
And I says, well, I'm definitely playing in the game next week. Come and watch that. As he came and watched, it was crew away. We ended up getting beat 2-0, unfortunately. But I had an all right game. And he rang us after the game saying, right, there's going to be a contract here for you in the morning. So I got him agent. We spoke to Aaron Stanley. And obviously, it was a non-contract, so I could walk away. So it was a no-brainer, really. And obviously, the 5 years I had there, the first few years was absolutely unbelievable. And I think that was the best thing for me. Obviously, I moved away from home. I was in a new city. I was with new people. I was living in digs that I'd never done before. And you've got to become a man then. Maybe it took me a lot longer to become a man than what I should have. But that was because I was mothered all my life at Sunderland, at home. I had everything done for me.
Home comforts, yeah.
Even though my missus would agree now that she still does that for me now, but
they all would.
Yeah, literally. But no, it was the best thing I ever done in my life. Move away from home, for my football reasons anyway.
You talked a little bit about sort of playing outfield when you were a kid, and I read somewhere that you had a little spell outfield in a friendly. Is that right, at Cardiff?
Yeah, that was unbelievable, honestly. So this is the current Manchester United manager, mine. He says, obviously, it was the first game of pre-season, so normally you would have two 11s playing 45 minutes each. And during the first half, one of our players went down injured. And the gaffer looked at me, he says, Ben, go inside and get an outfield kit on. You'll be coming on second half outfield. I was like, oh my God, this is my dream come true. That's it. I don't have to be a goalkeeper no more. And I went inside, got changed. So I'm thinking, oh my God, I look unbelievable in this kit. Yeah, I think I could do a job here. And I think it was about 20 minutes to go. And I've came on. I'm nervous. I'm a nervous wreck, but buzzing at the same time. And literally, within about a minute of me being on the pitch, this ball's got played in behind. I've run in behind the striker. And I've went to take it around the keeper. I don't know why. I should have dinked it. I would have scored if I just dinked it. And I've tried to take it around the goalkeeper within a minute of being on the pitch. And honestly, it still haunts me now that I didn't score in that game. But I think my fitness levels were a bit off the pace at that time. I think that's why I'm better off in goal, because my heart was about to stop or burst out my chest after about 5 minutes. So it's probably best that I don't have to get my heart rate up too much now.
Yeah. So when you missed that chance, that was when your outfield career was over then?
I still like to think I can do a job, but I think I enjoy tackling and heading the ball, and obviously, unfortunately, you're not allowed to tackle no one no more in football.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know what chance might come around at the Sky Blues. So there's plenty of subs these days, so.
Yes, very, very, very. I do dream of it, honestly, even against... Was it when I played against Norwich? All I could think to myself was, I'm going to come up for a corner, I'm going to score the winning goal. I'm thinking to myself, why, as a goalkeeper, do I concentrate more on scoring goals than I do saving goals? Maybe if I'd altered that, I might be a better goalkeeper, you know what I mean?
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And you moved to Sky Blues in the summer of 2019. When did you sort of first hear about the interest from Coventry?
Well, obviously, as I think obviously we're going to talk about in a bit, we knew I knew Alad Williams from Cardiff. His days at Cardiff, and he took us to Telford also when my contract was running out at Cardiff, and he'd rang me I think in the January, so the start of January, saying I'm coming to Cardiff, I'm getting the goalkeeping coach job at Cardiff at the end of the season because Oggy's retiring, and he says I've been allowed to bring in a number two, if of my choice, it can be anyone. So I'm ringing you now and telling you I'm taking you there with us. He didn't say, do you want to come? He says, I'm taking you there with us. And I thought myself, at the time I was at Bradford City, we were struggling. Obviously, even at Christmas time, we're on the verge of getting relegated. And I thought, that's unbelievable. I've been injured for 4.5 months. I think I played 2 games before Christmas, and I'm getting a move to Coventry. And honestly, I couldn't stop thinking about it for the next, was it 6 months until I signed. It was obviously unbelievable. Obviously, the season they had a good season before and just missed out on the playoffs. And I was going into a new, well, I didn't know this at the time, but literally a brand new team from that year with all the signings we made last pre-season. But honestly, I couldn't wait to get down. Obviously, I played a few games towards the end of the season, and obviously my first ever game at the Rico, well, first and only game at the Rico, ended in a 2-0 win for Coventry. So it wasn't too bad for them. But on the other hand, I got relegated as a goalkeeper, so it wasn't... it was nice knowing that I was going to end up signing for Coventry. It was quite nervous because it was my first league game that season. Knowing I find that I had to play well just so the manager didn't turn around to rally it or ring him after the game and say there's no chance of signing this keeper, he's believe hopeless. But luckily I'd done all right, so it was a nice sunny day. And obviously I just remember getting booed off the pitch by our own fans that day.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously you played in that game not long before signing. What else did you sort of know about Coventry? Were you aware of Coventry as a sort of club, like, you know, when you were growing up and things like that?
Yeah, well, obviously, back in the day, I mean, obviously, Sunderland and Coventry rivalry, you hear about all that. And obviously, I grew up at Sunderland. Obviously, Jordan Henderson was a few years older. He had a loan spell here. And they'd signed Blair Adams. I don't know if you ever remember Blair Adams. And obviously, he's one of my closest mates in football still. And I'd spoke to him about it, and he says it was an absolute unbelievable club. And obviously that just fills you with hope. And he'd worked with Mark Robbins in his previous spell at Coventry, so he said a lot of good things about the gaffer. And I just couldn't wait to get down and play for them. Like.
And what did you sort of? What did Mark Robbins say when you first joined? To you,
it's quite a funny conversation. Fair. So I think he was away on holiday when I first came down and signed. And he wanted me to ring him, so I give him a phone call.
Yeah.
And he just says, "Oh, welcome and all that. We're happy to have you," which obviously is always nice to hear. And he says, "Oh, what you got planned?" I says, "Well, tomorrow I'm flying out to Blair Adams stag do." And he says, "Well, I'm not sure that's what we want to hear the first of our first conversation, Ben." But luckily that was right at the start of the summer, so I could have me fun before I got my head down and got fit again. So yeah, I'm not sure who's too pleased with our first ever conversation.
Yeah, where was the stag?
It was in Dublin, so it was the first ever time I'd been to Dublin. It was absolutely unbelievable. Not that I can remember much of it, but it was unbelievable.
And coming in, did you know you were going to be a second choice, or did you come in thinking that the position was there to be played for, or how did you sort of feel about that coming into it? Obviously, felt like a challenge.
Yeah, well, like anything, obviously, I knew I was coming in as number two. Allard had spoken to me previously and say, "You're right, you're a number two. We're looking at Markham Rose here as number one." But at the end of the day, you've got to come in and fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously, I knew nothing about Mark at the time. He knew nothing about me. We were two new goalkeepers in a new club. And I can say, honestly, I was as fit as a fiddle coming into the season. Yeah. I was sharp. I was ready. And I thought I had an unbelievable preseason. I was getting praised a lot. And I was ready. I think it's because I was so happy being here and so fit at the time. I felt like I could do no wrong, and I was ready to play. And in all the games I played, I was doing well and performing really well.
Yeah.
And then obviously the first game of the season came around, and obviously I wasn't playing, and honestly, it hurt me so much. I don't know how to describe it really, but it killed me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in my head, I knew that I was the second choice. You know what I mean? But obviously, because of all the praise and how well he'd been doing, I thought, well, I've given myself a good chance here. I'm hearing a lot of positive feedback. There's a hell of a chance of me going to play here. So as much as it hurt me, I didn't let it affect me because I've known I was number two. But as well, I'd only been here 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the season's really 10 months long, isn't it? So I stayed happy, and I think I used that as motivation just to kick on and make sure I was performing day in, day out. And I think I got rewarded with all the praise I was getting during the season. I mean, obviously fans didn't see what went on behind the scenes or what goes on in the training field. And I work as hard as I can every day. I mean, you do have your days you come in where you can't be bothered, or it's hard to get, not that you can't be bothered, but it's hard to get going.
Of course, yeah, like anything.
But 99% of the time, I'm working hard. I want to win in training, small-sided games. I want to concede the least amount of goals. And I think that's what's kept me going all this time. Because, like you say, it's hard not playing, but you've got to make up for that on the training field. And if you're performing week in, week out on the training field, you're going to give yourself a chance when it comes to Saturday and you do get a chance.
Yeah. Obviously, you've been around a lot of different changing rooms and you know, with that type of role as a goalkeeper, obviously, there's only one slot. Does it get hard? Because obviously, a lot of outfield players, there's a chance that they're always going to get a possibility. It must be a bit, not difficult, but it's totally different, isn't it, to an outfield player?
Yeah, no, it's mentally, honestly, it is so tough. People don't realise. Mm. Even as an outfield player, it is so tough. But if you haven't got a strong head, and I'm still working on it now, I still struggle, honestly, with the mental side of the game. And if you're not ready to fight and work on the mental side of the game, there's pointless being a goalkeeper or being a footballer in general, because there's so many downs. You're coming to work, you're training for 2-3 hours a day. You're kicking a ball around for a living. You're in a group of change room where it's just banter all the time. But at the end of the day, honestly, I don't know. People talk about the mental side of the game a lot, but
yeah. You
don't realise how important. You can be the best player in the world, but obviously, if your head's not on it, you're out the game. I mean, I grew up with so many players who were unbelievable footballers, but dropped out of the game because they couldn't hack it mentally.
Yeah.
And honestly, even I say my old age now of 28, I'm still working on it. And I do, even going into games now, I'm a nervous wreck still until I get going. I've settled down, but it's hard. I think you need to be able to control your mind to be able to perform day in, day out and be at the top of your game. Like, definitely, I think that's why there's a lot of goalkeepers at the top that maybe aren't unbelievable goalkeepers, but they don't give a damn what people think of them. They don't worry about making mistakes. I mean, obviously Jordan Pickford, for example, he's an unbelievable goalkeeper, don't get me wrong. But growing up with him, he did not give a damn about anyone. Yeah. And that's why I think he's at the top.
Yeah. No, of course. And it must have helped, with that side of things. And obviously we know how, we've heard a lot of, how you push Marco and likewise in training. But your relationship with Alid as well, that must be, he obviously thinks the world of you, and that must help in that sort of role, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, we'll start with Marco. Mine and Marco's relationship is unbelievable. I've always got on with everyone. I mean, I'm a guy who gets on with everyone.
Yeah.
I'll talk to a brick wall, me. You know what I mean?
You have been for half an hour.
Yeah, literally. Me and Mark will get on really, really well. From day one, we just clicked. I think we've got a similar personality. We're bubbling. We want to make people laugh. We're the one who sends the funny videos into group chats. We're the one who's making jokes and winding people up on the training field every day.
Yeah.
No, our relationship is second to none, and I've been in change rooms where I've not really got on with the goalkeepers before, and that's hard because you're in this little bubble. You're the goalkeeping, your little goalkeeping bubble there. If there's one person that's not clicking, it's really hard because it just drags the session down all the time. But now the relationship's so good, even with the younger lads, Tom and Keane, and obviously now Campy's in as well. We just bounce off one another. It's amazing. It's a good little group. And I think because it's so good, that's why obviously Marco performed week in, week out, because he was so happy going into games. He was so good going into games because we're pushing him. We're constantly pushing him every day. And again, obviously that comes from Alid, and we go back a good few years now, me and Alid. I seen, obviously worked with my Cardiff. He took me to Telford, and then obviously he gives us the call to come to Coventry. And as much as he's here, he likes to think he's the goalkeeping coach and he's the boss. I like to think if I said to him, go make me a cup of tea, he'd make me a cup of tea. No, I'm just joking. Didn't tell him that, maybe. I'll be doing laps around the pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. We'll make sure we tell him so he's got some shuttles to go.
Yeah, no, he's my little tea boy. Tell him that. He's great. Alid's absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's only a young goalkeeping coach himself. And he's wanting to learn, and he's learning good. He's around our gaffer. He's around Aidy, who's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I think he's in a club now where he can just kick on. And it's good because, like you say, the sessions change all the time. We prepare for games in certain ways, and he's developed in the time I've worked with him, even from working with my Cardiff. He's developed as a goalkeeping coach, and it's really, really good, the strides he's taken, and which helps obviously me and Marco.
Yeah. Moving on to your League Cup debut, you made your debut in the League Cup. It was you then played against Watford in the next round as well. A really good atmosphere that night. It must have been really good to test yourself against then Premier League opposition.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely unbelievable to play against Watford then. Obviously, they had players who earned £40 million, cost £40 million, sorry. Premier League team at the time, and they were struggling, weren't they? They couldn't win at all in the Premier League at the start of that season, anyway. And we were going into it full of confidence, and it was amazing being there. The atmosphere, the fans that were there, because it was still a good turnout that night. Even the Coventry fans were unbelievable. And I think we started so well. I remember starting that game so well, and I thought I think we missed a good opportunity. And I thought if we went 1-0 up, that's game over. We'll just go on to batter these. And unfortunately, they broke on us. They scored a goal, and I think that just gave them the confidence that they needed. And I think obviously football is all about confidence, isn't it? And they took the opportunity and just grew from strength to strength. They had players who can just turn it on when they want. You know what I mean? That's the difference. I mean, We've got to be at our best all the time, whereas they've players who's been in the Premier League on worth millions of pounds. They can just choose when they switch it on. It was really good to play there, and obviously it was a good confidence. I say confident, obviously conceded three goals, it was for my confidence playing against them, and obviously holding our own and performing all right on the night. It was good. I took a lot of positives from the game, obviously apart from the result.
We've heard a lot about the dressing room spirit that we had last season, and a few of the lads we've chatted to, your name seems to crop up quite a lot around that topic. Tell us a little bit about that, Ben, and sort of how important that spirit was last year.
No, honestly, I've told a lot of people this year, or even during the season, that last season was the best season of my life, being a footballer. And I literally kicked, I think, 6-7 games I played, and obviously cup games. And sitting on the bench all season, people think, well, he's just there. He's picking up a wage. He's training a couple of hours a day. But it's not about that. We were unbelievable, honestly. From day one, it felt like we'd been together for years. I mean, if you watched I'm a Celebrity, wasn't it? When I'm a Celebrity was on a couple of weeks ago, how they gelled together, and it was people look for arguments and all that. But we gelled straight away. And on the training field it showed, going into games it showed, and obviously we had a lot of team bonding sessions last year, and I think that helped. And unfortunately this season we've missed out on a lot because of coronavirus, but the togetherness is absolutely amazing. I couldn't ask for a better bunch of boys to work. I mean, I've been in some good change rooms where there's been some great guys, but you could just feel that it was going to be such a positive season from being in the change room to being on the training field to being on a pitch on a match day. The confidence that soared throughout the change room was second to none. Honestly, it was absolutely amazing to be a part of.
Who are some of the lads you're closest to, Ben?
I would say, obviously, like you said before, I talk to everyone. I mean, but yeah, people want me to shut up half the time because I'm just chatting rubbish, but I get on with everyone. Obviously, I sit next to Marco in the change room. I lived with Jamie Allen for a month. Obviously, I knew Jamie from my time at Rochdale, so I got on really well with him. We've got a good relationship.
Good dance.
Jordan Shipley, I'm really close to because obviously we liked to be here last season, so it was nice to go out with him. We used to spend a lot of times in the pub. But everyone I could go through every single person and say we've got this in common, we've got that in common, we'll do this together. I spend a lot of time with Dom Hyam. He's a great lad. But yeah, I don't want to solely pick individuals out because obviously I would say I'm close to everyone. It's a really good change room, and like I say, I think I've just got the personality where I go upstairs when it's dinner time and I spend half an hour talking to chef. I think that's the kind of person I am anyway. Like,
yeah. It must be nice for you though, you know, even though you didn't play a lot of games, you were able to, I guess, you know, help with that sort of team spirit, and which clearly was so important for us last season.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like you see, I've seen a lot of goalkeepers who sulk on and just want to come in, train, then go home. Whereas I think I used my character a lot last season to just to be lively, just to put a smile on people's faces. Say if the games that we did lose last year, I'd be the first thing on a Monday morning. I'd be the one trying to make someone laugh. You know what I mean? I'd be annoying someone, and they're going, Ben, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Why are you so happy? Right? You're living the greatest life. You know what I mean? You just got to be happy, and I think you perform better when you're happy. And there was not many days last season when the lads were down. We had so many happy characters in there that we just bounced off one another. And like you say, I get on really well with the coaching staff. I get on really well with everyone in the offices. I just try and use. I've got a big personality, but I come home and I'm quiet. You know, that's people don't see me. I think I just relax and sit quiet in my own four walls. Although my missus is looking at me now, going, "Yeah, good one." I try to use, because I wasn't playing on a Saturday and I couldn't get my personality across on the pitch. I used it in different ways, and or maybe AD liked to tell me off a little bit last year because maybe I was too happy on the training field, but joking on too many times. But I think it's good. Obviously, the lads used my personality to help gain what they did from it. And obviously, you hear a lot of things in the paper or what Allard's come out and said in interviews. And it's nice to hear, because at the time, I don't see me using my personality for things like that. You know what I mean? I just see it as I come in and I'm a happy guy. I just want to be everyone happy. But then what difference it made, or what they say it made, is it like makes me feel so good about myself.
Yeah, definitely. And you said it was the best sort of season of your life. Tell us about the day when they announced we'd won the league.
I don't really remember much, to be honest. When I read the questions there before, I said to my sister, says, what the hell? I says, I'm sure you opened a bottle of champagne at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that day. We kind of knew in the battle we had that we'd been promoted, or we were going to get promoted. But to actually hear it, I think I cried. Tears came out. I couldn't get the champagne bottle out quick enough. And the worst thing about it is I hadn't had no food all day. So when we obviously decided, I think obviously it was during lockdown, we weren't supposed to meet up, but between us and obviously all the Coventry City fans, we got together and, yeah, we celebrated, and we made sure we celebrated because the lads deserved it. Honestly, they deserved it more than anyone last season to have the party that we did. And to celebrate like we did, because what an achievement that was. What an achievement with a group, a great bunch of lads.
Huge. And heading into pre-season, obviously knowing that you were going into the Championship, just tell us about that and preparation. I'm sure it's probably no different to the league before, but how did that feel? And what did you make of the new additions to the squad when they first came in?
Yeah, obviously, with all what was going on, it was always going to be difficult because, obviously, we'd not kicked a ball in, was it 4 months, I think, we didn't kick a ball for?
Yeah.
And you see all these other Championship teams, they finished the season, so they were all fit. We'd been running, we'd been keeping ourselves fit, but there's no fitness like actually playing football. So the 6 weeks you have off in the summer, you run a little bit, you get fit, but you still got a little bit left over from the season before. So we knew it was going to be tough, and there was a few injuries early doors in pre-season. And it was tough, people dropping out of training. We had the young lads training with us all the time. And it was hard, like people were in and out, and it was hard to find that balance at the time. But we were all happy as Larry. We'd just been promoted. We were in the Championship. And we were nothing but positive going in, because we knew for a fact that, I mean, when we played Birmingham last season, the Championship team, and we obviously, as much as we drew and then got beat on penalties, we knew we battered that team. So we knew in our head that we were going to hold our own, no matter what, in this league.
Yeah.
And if not, we could kick on. So it was, yeah, it was a positive pre-season with all the restrictions that was going on. It was always going to be tough. Getting corona tested twice a week, which obviously the lads still to this day don't enjoy.
Yeah.
But no, it was, like I say, it was really positive with all the facilities that we had and everything that was going on. We dealt with it really, really good, and we were ready for the start of the season. And obviously, you see, there's a few new signings, few new faces, which is, it's always nice to have a bit of freshness coming in. And they all settled in really well. Obviously, a few of them picked up injuries again. Obviously, the coming from abroad, adapting to the British ways, obviously, or the English game is always going to be hard. But like you see, you look at Gus, for example. I think he's a prime example. He's been absolutely outstanding, and people look at me as the character in the change room. I think you've got to have eyes in the back of the head when he's in the change room. Honestly, the amount of times I've wanted to slap him for annoying me, blimey. He's obviously nipping you, he's pulling your hair, he's slapping you, but he just comes from nowhere. He's crazy. But no, all the additions, they've brought their own little bit from where they've been before and had their own little stamp on it. Obviously, we've got Tyler, who's come in. He's had a good career in England so far.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, he come in, he had the, obviously 2 weeks out, but he's come back. He's playing and he's doing really well. So no, the signings have been absolutely fantastic for the team and for the club itself.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
It was always going to be a tough start, I suppose, in the Championship, probably because of what you mentioned there about the teams that they seem to probably completely match fit and on the boil, and perhaps, you know, we'd had a pre-season, but not quite the same as a lot of the other teams, but really started to grow into the season, didn't we?
No, definitely. I mean, even if you look at last season, like we didn't win away from home. Was it 11 games? I think it was. Or it took us 11 games before we went away from home. But at the same time, we were drawing games. We weren't getting beat. So that could, obviously, you're building confidence because you're building points. And obviously, this season, we were getting punished a lot more, whereas in League One, you weren't getting punished as much for mistakes.
Yeah.
But like I said, if we'd had finished the season off, I think we would have been a lot more, even though we felt ready enough as a team,
I think we would have been
a lot more ready. I think obviously slowly now coming together, the lads have been absolutely fantastic last few weeks. And I think we've grown from strength to strength. And I think obviously we can only see a positive outcome at the end of it. And like you say, we're slowly climbing up the table. We're getting more points. And we've got nothing but positivity going into the new year now.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the Cardiff game, obviously coming on for your league debut, it might have been a bit of a shock, I suppose. Towards that, you're thinking, you know, probably thinking, well, it's another night, you know, perhaps not going to be on the pitch, and then you have to be mentally ready, like you mentioned before.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Honestly, I was sat there, I sit between Marshy and Marcus the masseur, and we have a great laugh sitting on the bench. As much as I concentrate on the game, we do have a good laugh. And honestly, I was ready to take my shin pads off. I thought, it's 2 minutes left. I'm sat here. I've got a little hot water bottle on my lap. We'll see the game out. We'll win. And that's it. Well, all lads will be buzzing. And he's went down injured. I thought, oh, God, here he goes again. He likes to chuck himself on the floor from time to time, Marco. Because I remember a game last season. I can't remember. I think it might have been Tranmere, you know. Was it? Did we play? Did we play Tranmere away last year? Yeah, we did, because it was Christmas, when the pitch was, was it the pitch when it was horrendous, wasn't it? I'm sure it was Tranmere. And I think it was a minute after half time. He was down injured, and I was still in the change room chatting to Marsh, eating Jaffa cakes. And all of a sudden, one of the lads came running in, saying, "Ben, Mark was down. I've chucked these Jaffa cakes." Honestly, I was devastated. I ran out. I've done a quick warm up, and he's got up. There's nothing wrong with him. So I thought, I'll slowly get up, I'll walk down the bottom, waste a little bit of time. I've ran down, I had a slow little jog down the touchline, and obviously I seen the Cardiff physio there, and who I knew from my time there. And we had a little bit of a chat and I thought, he's going to get up, he's going to be fine. And then I was looking over and I seen the physio started talking into his microphone. I thought, oh my God, it's happening. And all of a sudden, I think it was Adam Hearn who shouted, Ben. And I thought, oh my God, it is. It's time. And I've walked back, and honestly, I think I've walked back. So I might have jogged back, and I've got ready so slowly. Honestly, I was shaking like mad. And I don't know if that was because I was freezing or nervous.
A bit of both.
But like I say, it was 2 minutes left, and I thought, they're just going to pile this ball into my box.
Yes.
You had the 6'5" players here, there, and everywhere on the pitch. And I thought to myself, I'm going to get smashed here. If Mark was coming off like that, well, am I going to be like that? Luckily, the first thing I had to do was take a goal kick. I'd been sat down for 90 minutes, and I come on, I had to kick a goal kick as far as I could.
Would you prefer to be on, in that scenario, would you prefer to be on longer, or was it almost not a relief, but you know, it's a minute or so. We knew they were going to pepper the box probably, but did it felt, I don't know, was it, what's easier, I suppose?
No, it was a good time to come on. I think if I was to come on, it would be literally with a minute to go, because you come on early in the game, you've never had a proper warm up.
Yeah.
It's hard to get in the game, and you're freezing, you're trying to get going. And even when I was stood there on the pitch, I was like, oh, bloody hell, my head's all over the place. I'm not seeing things here. And obviously they put that ball in the box. I says, here we go. We're coming. And I seen a guy run in front of us. I thought, oh my God, he's got it. He's 6'5", he's got it. And it just fell into my hands, and I felt the floor, and I heard all the relief on the boys. Oh, fantastic, Ben. Absolutely amazing. Love that, Ben.
Yeah, and if fans were in, that would have been the loudest, wouldn't it? It would have been it would have been so loud when that took that catch.
It would have been absolutely amazing for them to be there. And just to see that I could hold under a ball, you know what I mean? it was nice to come on when I did, even though obviously the circumstances is not how I wanted to make my debut, but obviously, best wish him all. He's had his operation. He's on the mend now. So, it was obviously, like I say, apart from the circumstances, it was good to be out there, and obviously good to be against Cardiff, who I previously paid for.
Yeah.
And obviously we won. So it was even better. And I classed myself, even though I was on for 2 minutes, I still class it as my first clean sheet.
Yeah, we'll give you that one as well, Ben. And then you obviously made your full league debut away at Carrow Road. It's not a bad place to make your debut, is it? Even though there weren't fans there.
No, it was amazing to play there. I mean, when I was back in Cardiff, it was my second game for Cardiff. I think I played against Norwich, and obviously that back then there was 20,000 fans there.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit less nerves purely because there was no fans there, but. I think the nerves that I had before the game was enough to get me through it. And luckily, the first half went so well, obviously, apart from one daft incident. And I just felt my confidence growing. I felt the confidence from the guys in the changing room, from the coaching staff. And obviously, when you feel that people's got confidence in you, it just makes you grow at the next level.
Yeah.
And obviously, luckily, I say, I had a good first half, and that gave me that allowed me to put my shoulders back a little bit and just enjoy the game a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. And the penalty incident. I mean, we were talking about on our podcast, and we all got a bit sort of wound up about it. What did you make of it,
Ben? Oh, it was an absolute disgrace of a decision. I'm not going to lie, honestly. I don't think there's one man in football, apart from that referee. I don't think there's one other man in football that would agree it was a penalty. I just don't understand how he's given it or what he's seen to give it. I've got two hands firmly on the ball, and he's saying, I've took him out. I've took the player out first. And I thought to myself, well, I've got two hands on the ball, and he's kicked my hip. He's nowhere near the ball.
Yeah.
It was outrageous. I even spoke him after the game, or even at half-time. I says, you go in there now and have a look at that. And I says, I bet you change your mind. And he's come out second half. He says, well, I've had a look of it. I still think you've caught him a little bit. And I thought, but obviously he can't turn around and say, look, it's not a penalty, because obviously he's given it. But he knew when he said it wasn't a penalty, and he'd made the wrong decision. And obviously, looking back, we would have went on to win the game 1-0, and it would have been an unbelievable game for the first game.
Yeah, definitely. And you've obviously played a few games now in the first team, and I guess from our point of view, you seem to be sort of very confident, you're commanding your area well. How have you sort of felt? Have you felt quite comfortable now, sort of having played a few games?
I think I'm growing in confidence going into games now. I'm back on my own ability, where once over I was going into games, playing a game every now and then, and I wasn't really match sharp, or I wasn't mentally ready to go in and play, you know what I mean? But I feel good. But I think, obviously me, I'm a guy who plays on confidence, and I think, again, if the gaffer trusts me, if Allard trusts me, if the players trust me, it gives me that confidence to believe in myself a little bit more. And that's what it's been. And I've enjoyed it. Each game gets better and better. I'm enjoying it. Obviously, with the way the results have been as well, it's been absolutely amazing. Obviously, that helps. I've had a few good performances. It's just nice. I'm going into games knowing fine well I've got such a good back four or back five in front of me. Or even 10 players in front of me, should I say, that I trust them so much that we're going to get a positive result no matter what. It helps so much knowing that and believing in one another.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that we sort of noticed about you is your distribution's been really good, and you know, using both your feet as well. Is that something you've sort of worked on a lot in training?
I think when I was younger, I used to work on my, not so much my kicking itself, but my, how I kicked a ball and how my run up to a ball, and I've toyed with it all my life. And I was my goalkeeping coach at Cardiff. I mean, I could always kick a ball a mile when I was younger, but never really consistent, if you get me. But now I see all these goalkeepers now running up to the ball as fast as they can and trying to whack it as hard as they can. And it's going here, there and everywhere. Yeah, it might be going far, but it's going here, there and everywhere. But what I try and tell people now is you look at rugby players, look at Owen Farrell, the way he kicks a ball. He can kick a ball a mile and he walks up to the ball. He doesn't run up the ball. Everything's in control. I think a few people picked up on my goal kick against Cardiff when I came on. They see me step back and then I took a deep breath before I went and kicked it. And I think you just got to control yourself into the ball. And I think it's all about technique. Obviously, if you can run and smash a ball with good technique, then fair play. But I think it's all about your contact on the ball and the technique. And I literally walk up to the ball and just strike through it. And I wouldn't say I worked on my left foot a lot. I went out one day and I thought, yeah, actually, I'm not too bad on my left foot. I can kick it all right. So I think, again, it's just believing in it. Just believing you can do it.
Good thing to have in your locker, isn't it, as a goalkeeper, to be able to do it on both feet?
Yeah, unbelievable. Obviously, you get yourself out of a lot of tricky situations if you can kick it with both feet. And I enjoy kicking with left foot. I remember one lone spell, I would roll it to the right-hand side, then boom it as far as I can with my right foot. So the strikers used to stand over that side, so then I'd run over the other side, just drop it on my left foot and then clip it forward my left foot. And even on Saturday, I think I got a little bit too confident, man. And then I clipped the ball to Fanky with my left foot, and I thought, my Ben, right, that's enough. Don't get too carried away with yourself here. I think it's just back your own ability, and I trust my left foot enough to get me out of situations.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great seeing that you're enjoying your regular team football. And what sort of ambitions do you have for the rest of the season, I suppose?
I think... And individually, I think obviously it's lovely playing at the minute. I think it's great that everything's going well. So obviously, it's getting out the mindset of being a number two and seeing yourself right now as a number one. Mm-hmm. And if I can maintain that position till the end of the season, then I think it's been a positive season. Yeah. If Marto comes back and if he plays, then I'll still be in the zone of thinking, well, I'm pushing him. People trust me enough now to be able to play. And I'll give it my all again. So it's nothing. If I go back to sitting on the bench, I'm going back to being number two, nothing changes in my mind. I'm still going to work every day as if I want to play on a Saturday. But like I say, as going to a team ambition, it's obviously finishing as high as we possibly can. Staying in the championship, which would be a massive achievement itself. Yeah. But we know ourselves. We can beat anyone on the day. I mean, the results we've had, teams in the top half of the league that we've beaten, or got good positive draws against. We know for a fact that we can finish as high up this table as we wanted if we stick together and we continue performing at this level, like.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, obviously, safety is always going to be the first ambition for the team, isn't it? But we heard so much last season about Carl McFadden obviously calculating the points up every single week or every day at training to when we were going to get. I'm not sure if he's doing the same with.
I'm not sure what Fads knows how to use a calculator, so I'm not sure Simo was doing that. Someone might have said that, but I'm not sure if he can use a calculator very well. Him. I think he's headed too many balls in his career, and he's from Sheffield.
but I suppose, you know, it is that the sort of vibe in the changing room is very much that, you know, that we're sort of pulling clear and hope, you know, obviously no one's ever going to think it job done, but do we feel a lot more confident that aim has been sort of met?
Yeah, no, of course. Obviously, the way results are going, results give you confidence, don't they? So game by game, I mean, even the games we got beaten or we conceded a couple of good goals in, we were performing really, really well.
Yeah,
it was just little mistakes, and obviously we've tidied that up a little bit now, and the lads are growing with confidence. The staff have got confidence about them, and it's just breathing through the whole team. It's great, and we know for a fact we can kick on, and we can beat anyone, and we will continue to grow as a team. Look, you're going to get sapboxed. You can't win every game, but it will be more positives than negatives, hopefully this season. Well, definitely this season. I can. You can just feel it again.
And on a sort of final note, really, obviously it's been a shame that haven't been any fans at the games, you know, especially this season with you sort of breaking into the team. But what do you make of the Sky Blue Army and the support they gave the team last season?
Yeah, no, the Sky Blue Army was absolutely amazing. Away from home, especially, they were absolutely outstanding. They travelled so many miles last year. They were in Aussie. The voices on them, honestly, was singing the heart out from minute one to the 90th minute. It was, obviously, we had a lot of positive results last season, and that does help. But honestly, they were amazing. They were absolutely fantastic. Even with the lads who, like myself, who weren't playing as many games, they were in support of everyone. And even the ones who turned up to the home games to St Andrews. They sung the hearts out there, and obviously it's difficult times. We would like to be back in the Rico, but home or away, you hear them, they're behind the boys, and it helps. It does help so much. I like to call myself the 12th man, so we can be the 12th man together. They're absolutely outstanding. You hear over the years how good Coventry fans are, and obviously they spurred us on a lot last season. And I think they gave all the lads so much confidence in themselves, and yeah, they can take part in the promotion that we had last season, and obviously in the games this season. I know they're all watching from home, week in, week out, so they'll be screaming and shouting at telly, spilling pints when they're allowed to drink, that is. We can't wait to have them back. But for obviously the time being, everyone's safe and sound at home. Yeah. And when they do back, they'll be once again singing the hearts out. I'm sure about that.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully it's not too long to wait. Ben, thanks for joining us on the show. It's been absolutely brilliant to learn more about you and your football career. And as your sponsor at Sky Blues Extra, we've particularly enjoyed seeing you break into the first team. On behalf of all the Sky Blues fans, I just want to wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season.
No, thank you very much for your time and obviously for sponsoring me as well. I've had so much fun tonight. Like, I was sitting in the chair beforehand. I was so nervous. I was thinking, I'm more nervous to talk in here than I am going into games. honestly, cause I think you're overthinking your head what you're going to say, what can I say and all this. But honestly, I appreciate your time. And I've enjoyed every single minute of it. Obviously, being able to tell a little bit about myself, and hopefully people will understand what I've been saying.
Ben, it's honestly been absolutely brilliant. We've really enjoyed it as well. So thanks for that, and I'm sure our listeners will really enjoy it too. Listeners, don't forget to check out Shortland Horn, our sponsors, for the latest properties across Coventry. And also check out the Sky News Extra website for all of our latest content as well as our merchandise. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation on any of our channels, just use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.